Salt Lake County delays their vote on a proposed tax increase. A Utah family sues the Millard County Sheriff over the shooting death of their son. And the Utah Air Quality Board scraps their plan to meet federal standards. You're listening to the KUER News Pod for Friday, December 14th. I'm Brian Grimmett.
From KUER News in Salt Lake City, I'm Dan Bomas. Good morning. A clerical error led the Salt Lake County Council to delay a vote last night to approve next year's county budget. They'll address the issue instead tonight, but the council did make time for one last round of public comment on the budget, which includes a 16.2% property tax increase. During a public hearing Tuesday, the council heard only passionate testimonies of disapproval for the increase, which amounts to an additional $59 a year for the average homeowner. Last night, no different. Council member Steve DeBry addressed members of the council.
This issue, the gravity of it is immense. And everybody on this council has struggled with this, and we have studied this, and we don't take this lightly when we have to address taxpayer dollars to run government.
The council did get some support last night from a handful of Salt Lake County residents like Christopher Lee, who said they appreciate the increase. He asked the disapproving crowd that spoke before him to think about a community without art, libraries, and recreation centers.
It's not the kind of world that I want to bring my little 10-month daughter into. I want her to see all the beauty that's in this world. And the way that people will see, children will see the beauty in this world, is by having opportunities to engage in these beautiful, wonderful things that our community supports.
Council members say there likely will be no change to the final budget, but they will continue taking written comments from the public until the final vote this evening at 7.
The family of a Native American man who was fatally shot by a Millard County Sheriff's deputy almost 2 months ago is filing a lawsuit in the U.S. District Court for Utah. KUER's Bob Nelson has the story.
The suit names the County Sheriff Robert Decker, Deputy Dale Josie, who was involved in the shooting, and Millard County. Corey Kanosh was shot following a chase through parts of the small town of Kanosh in south-central Utah. Joshua Barron is the attorney representing the Kanosh family. He says he's primarily hoping the suit will press Millard County into releasing the incident report.
There's a lot of questions that the family has, and throughout Millard has agreed that the family's entitled to answers of those questions. Up to this point, we've not received them.
Millard County Sheriff Robert Decker says the county attorney has the independent investigation by Utah County officials on his desk and will likely respond within a couple of days. Decker says his office has nothing to hide.
I want people to know that I'm standing by my deputy and his actions.
Decker also denies allegations by the Kanosh family that Deputy Dale Josie is back on duty as a patrol officer. He says Josie is back at work in an administrative capacity only. Decker says given the close-knit nature of the small town where everyone knows everyone, this has been difficult. Advocates for charter schools, homeschooling, virtual schools, and other alternatives to traditional public and private education gathered at the Grand America Hotel this morning for the third annual Utah Parents for Choice and Education Symposium. Robin Bagley is the board chair for the organization. She says Utah has come a long way in embracing new solutions, that is, to Utah's education challenges.
In Utah, we have moved in a decade, maybe a little more than a decade, to having virtually no choice at all, to having charters, which starting next fall will have 100, and will have a little over 8% of the population of our students in charter schools. That's pretty remarkable.
Matthew Ledner is a keynote speaker at this year's symposium. He's the senior advisor for policy and research at the Foundation for Excellence in Education. He spoke specifically about the success of digital learning. He says it costs less than a traditional brick-and-mortar school, and there is evidence that it's effective at keeping students on track.
If you're a bright, motivated kid who can rush ahead, you can rush ahead. If you're a kid that is in dire need of remediation, you can get the remediation. The technology meets you where you are. The teachers are there to help the students and to solve problems and whatnot, but they're freed up to do more creative things.
Utah currently has a statewide online education program that allows high school students to drop two of their classes and exchange them for two online classes provided by state-approved public and private vendors for free. Some have criticized the program for pulling state education dollars away from school districts and into the private sector.
A new report based on U.S. Census data shows that Utah is once again tops in the nation for volunteer service. It marks the seventh straight year Utah has led the list. The report from the Corporation for National and Community Service shows that 41% of Utahns volunteered in 2011. That's a higher percentage than any other state. The Utah Air Quality Board has scrapped a plan to meet new federal air pollution standards. It'll start over with a new effort that could produce tougher regulations for the urban areas of northern Utah. The state will miss today's deadline to submit a new plan to the Environmental Protection Agency. Part of the plan the state had been working out was a vehicle emissions program in Cache County. Local officials there have promised to block it. Bryce Bird, the director of Utah's Division of Air Quality, says it's better to have the right plan late than the wrong plan on time. Chevron has worked out a settlement with the state over the cost of cleaning up old gas station sites. Chevron got money from a state fund for the cleanup, and the state said it failed to disclose that it had insurance coverage for some of those sites as well. The company denied the allegations, but it settled the case for $1.8 million. Closing arguments are scheduled for today in the trial of the owner of a powerboat that struck and killed a swimmer in Pineview Reservoir near Ogden. The defense attorney for Skylar Shepherd argued yesterday that Esther Fujimoto put herself in danger by swimming in open water. Shepherd has said he wasn't driving when the boat struck Fujimoto, who is a scientist at the University of Utah. There have been 198 highway fatalities in Utah this year, and the state could finish 2012 with the lowest total since 1959. The Salt Lake Tribune reports highway deaths have been dropping steadily in recent years. Dwayne Baird with the Utah Department of Public Safety says credit for safer travel is due to better highway engineering, public education about safety, and better enhancement on the roads. And finally, Dan Nealon enjoys all kinds of music, but his eyes light up when he hears a good old country twang.
Dan's here, and he brought along his twang.
That's right. We've had an unusually rich December in terms of music that's not necessarily Christmas music, and this weekend is a prime example. We have a few of my favorite, both local and national acts that bring a little of that twang to town with them. And we're first talking about Justin Townes Earl, who's one of my personal favorites. He's the son of Steve Earle, who a lot of people know, kind of an outlaw troubadour in his own right. Justin Townes Earle's put out a few records now. His most recent is called Nothing's Gonna Change the Way You Feel About Me Now. It came out back in March.
Mama, I'm hurting in the worst way. I got no money in my pocket.
This is a record where he has incorporated a lot of that Memphis stack soul sound, a little horns. He recorded the whole record live with his band in Asheville, North Carolina last year in about a five-day stretch. It's a great collection, and he's playing at the State Room on Saturday night, and if anyone hasn't seen him, he's a blast. He's a real kind of a retro vibe, but a really great time every time he plays.
And where'd you find the local twang?
The local twang, we got a couple of good options. On Friday night, Bronco, local sort of country rock band, they're playing at Pat's Barbecue. So you just go down and get some awesome food at Pat's at 7 o'clock, and there's no extra cover charge. You get to see a great local band that does some little country and a little rock and roll. And then Saturday night, before the Justin Townes Earle show, there is a show by a band called Open Orchard Revival. That name is not necessarily familiar, but what it is a sort of super group of the Polka Dots and the Trappers, two local bands who have a little bit of twang and folk and country to them. They got together to make a gospel album, and this is that project. They're playing at the First Christian Reformed Church. It's part of this 9th and 9th concert series. It's at 8th, basically 8th East and 9th South on the corner there, and that's a $10 suggested donation, and 10% of all the proceeds go to the Christmas Box House. So you'll get some gospel tunes, you'll get some Christmas tunes, you'll get a little Trappers and Polka Dots. Great stuff all weekend.
And that is your KUER News Pod for Friday, December 14th. For the latest news and updates from around the state, be sure to check us out online at KUER.org. Until next time, I'm Brian Grimmett.